case of the day, which is In Re Estate of Anderson. Mr. Krejci, good morning to you, and do I understand correctly that Mr. Jarecki, you're going to be doing the entire argument, is that correct? Do either council have any questions before we begin? Thank you, Mr. Krejci, you may approach and you may proceed.
May I reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please? May I please the court? My name is Jared Krejci. I represent the appellants Carol Noble and Roger Anderson, who are the two children of the decedent in this case, Carol Anderson. What I wanted to focus on first is my two clients have contested a will which devises Mr. Anderson, the decedent's estate, to his great niece, I believe. And in the course of that, they filed a petition for appointment of a special administrator. I wanted to focus on the merits of the petition for appointment of a special administrator. Under the existing standard set forth in the case law for appointment of a special administrator, what is required is an allegation of one of several different bad things, fraud, misadministration, or in this case, a conflict of interest. And in this case, the allegation of a conflict of interest was that Crystal Collins, the beneficiary and the proponent of the will, received over $300,000 in payable on death accounts from the decedent. And
before you get too deep into this, the county court actually didn't rule on this issue, did it? It actually found it didn't have jurisdiction?
It found that it did not have jurisdiction.
So it didn't actually reach the merits, did it?
It did not reach the merits. However, I would say that the issue was submitted, the evidence was submitted. We argued the petition for appointment of a special administrator. During the course of the hearing, there were questions about jurisdiction that we discussed. But the county court allowed us to go forward and present our evidence. And so when we left that day, we did not know that the county court would decline jurisdiction. We received an order later that stated that the county court determined that it did not have jurisdiction. So we submitted the issue to the district court. The district court could have made a decision on the merits. And the example that I think of in this case is...
You mean the county court?
Yes, the county court. The example that I think of is, say you have a case where clearly the lower court has jurisdiction, and it's an equity issue. So say we're in district court, we are set to try an equity issue, and all of the evidence is clear that this case should be decided one way, and the evidence is uncontroverted. And the district court has jurisdiction, and there's really no real argument about it. The case is submitted, and several weeks later, the district court issues a written order that states, I've just decided I don't have jurisdiction. And the district court's clearly wrong. That case was argued, submitted to the district court, and the district court made a jurisdictional finding that was wrong. If it was appealed here, I believe that this court could resolve that issue because it has been submitted. The district court in that hypothetical erred and decided that it didn't have jurisdiction.
But in your hypothetical, you hypothesize an equitable proceeding in the district court.
Yes.
Does it make any difference if the proceeding is one of law?
Well, in my hypothesis, I used an equitable proceeding just so that we would not have a jury, and to make the hypothesis simple. So my hypothesis could be the same on a probate issue in the county court, like we have here, where evidence is submitted on this issue, arguments are made, the issue was submitted to the county court, and In my opinion, the county court clearly had jurisdiction of this issue.
This is not this aspect of the county court proceeding is not an equitable proceeding, is it?
I would consider it a probate issue.
It would be a one at law based upon statute.
Well, I would not consider it to be an equitable proceeding.
So, but is your argument that this court has some kind of de novo review and that we can decide issues of credibility and make some decision about the merits on the case?
Well, in this particular case, this is a petition for appointment of a special administrator. So it is not a full trial of the merits. And what the evidence below establishes without any contradiction, under the existing standard for an appointment of a special administrator, we have an allegation of a conflict of interest. And then the other prong that we need under Litherland versus Juergens is some evidence of wrongdoing. And in the brief, we present about 10 different reasons why Ms. Collins has committed some wrongdoing. And this is for an appointment of a special administrator. It's not a finding that Ms. Collins has done anything wrong. It's merely to appoint a special administrator.
So your argument is we do have a de novo review of that?
I think that's probably correct, Your Honor. I'm asking that this court issue an order mandating that the county court issue an order appointing a special administrator.
Isn't our standard of review for error appearing on the record?
In a probate proceeding, yes.
And isn't this a probate proceeding?
Yes. But the problem that we have here is that the county court made its decision based on jurisdiction.
So it wouldn't that be a decision that doesn't conform to the law? If we agree with you that the county court did in fact have jurisdiction?
I believe that would be correct if I understand your question correctly.
Wouldn't we want to send that then back to the county court judge rather than having this court make a determination on the issue of whether there should be a special administrator?
Well, I think that decision is discretionary because you have appellate jurisdiction here. We have a final order that has been appealed. And so you could make the discretionary decision that the county court should be the decision maker. You tell the county court that the county court has jurisdiction over this issue, and the county court should decide this issue. I believe you can make that discretionary decision, but I also don't believe that you have to make that discretionary decision based on your appellate jurisdiction. I'm asking that you actually do consider the merits, and one of the reasons why I believe it's important to consider the merits in this case is because it's my opinion that the existing law on appointment of a special administrator makes it overly onerous to obtain a special administrator in a situation where there is an alleged conflict of interest. Based on, if this was a case involving conflicts of interest of a trustee, of a board, of a corporation, in that case, if there's an alleged conflict of interest, the board member of a corporation would have to come into court and show that their transaction involving a conflict of interest was fair to the corporation. And in the case of appointment of a special administrator, it's my belief that based on the entire body of equity law that is related to this question, the existing standard under Litherland, it makes obtaining a special administrator in the instance of an alleged and real conflict of interest overly onerous. So I believe that there is...
You want the burden not to be on you.
In my opinion, what I'm asking the court to consider is if there is an alleged and real conflict of interest over an issue, the personal representative in this case has the burden to show that despite that conflict of interest, that transaction was fair. And that's the standard in most issues of equity, and this is a probate issue, but there's similar questions. So
the district court relied on a state of Miller to find that it lacked jurisdiction what's your argument for why that reliance was wrong?
My argument regarding Miller, and there's really three cases, Sehi and Bowling, I don't think that the three cases are inconsistent. It's my position that when a will contest is transferred to the district court obtains jurisdiction over the proceedings on the contest. Obviously, that includes the actual contest itself, and based on Miller and really the other two cases, it could involve other parts of the proceeding that are related to the contest. Here, appointment of a special administrator has nothing to do with the contest. I could be asking for appointment of a special administrator if there was no will, if this was an intestacy proceeding. So in my opinion, and based on the law and the three cases, appointment of a special administrator is always a county court decision. An issue involving filing a claim, that is a decision for the county court unless it starts in the district court. There are, in the probate code, there are many issues involving probate decisions that stay in the county court always, despite the existence of a transfer of will contest.
Chief, may I ask a question now, fine.
You may.
Before you sit down, one of the arguments from the appellees is that this is also not a final order. Can you walk through what substantial right is being affected that can be vindicated later in an appeal?
Yes, sir. The way that I would answer that question, I apologize, is Monsillo answers that question. And Monsillo states that denial of a petition for appointment of a special administrator is a final appealable order. And so that's answer number one. The second, and it justifies the reasons why, which are the same here. But the other thing that I would like to add is if you look at this case and you say, let's take a case-by-case review. Has there been a substantial right that has been eliminated based on this order? If you don't go by category when you're determining whether an order is final or not, like in the case of Monsillo, denial of a petition for appointment of a special administrator is a final order. If you go by a case-by-case analysis, I believe that that would be a grave error with many consequences, because at that point, every single order would have to be a case-by-case issue of whether it's final, and it would be a headache for everyone involved in the judicial decision. So I think you have to look categorically, and Monsillo answers the question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jarecki.
May it please the court and opposing counsel. The issue before the court is whether a county court has jurisdiction after a probate case has been transferred to district court in a will contest. We do not get to the merits of this case. And Boone County Court determined that it does not have jurisdiction once a case is transferred to district court pursuant to 30-2429.01. And subsection 3 of that statute explicitly states that the district court shall have jurisdiction over the proceeding on the contest. And In re Miller further states that once the contest is transferred to district court, the county probate court has no authority over the matter.
On that issue, how does Miller square with Sehi, thank you, and Bowling?
I believe it's consistent, Your Honor. And the reason is Sehi discusses that the will contest is not severable from the county court proceeding. And I look at it as there are two tracks that can be chosen in a will contest. One is that it can remain in county court and a party can request a special administrator. But when they file that motion to transfer to district court, the jurisdiction goes to district court at that time. And there's statutory protections for the challenging party at that time. The personal representative is restrained from making further distributions under 30-2425. And the personal representative under 30-2438 provides additional protection to the challenging party stating that the personal representative can only exercise authority to preserve the estate. And in order to take any additional action, they have to obtain an order from the court.
Which court?
Right. And I would say that this is similar to the analysis that this court did in CHI, where it was supersedeas bond was discussed. And throughout the statutes, it stated in certain locations, county court or just court. And this court determined.
But CHI was a supersedeas bond over the will contest, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
So even under the textual basis of a transfer of the proceeding, I'm looking at 30-2429.01(1), transfer the proceeding to determine whether the decedent left a valid will, and in sub 3 where it says over the jurisdiction over the proceeding on the contest, in CHI was always going to be the district court decided that issue because it was supersedeas on the will contest. We're not talking about supersedeas on some claim that was adjudicated in the county court proceeding, are we?
No, Your Honor.
Expound, if you will, on the textual basis in that statute where I've read both of those, that language about how you get to the district court has everything.
The statute only says court, and I guess my argument is that nothing could be done by the personal representative. It makes sense that it all goes to district court because nothing can be done by the personal representative in county court until it's determined whether or not there's a valid testamentary document. And then once that determination is made, the district court certifies it back to county court. And when the district court certifies the matter back to county court, I believe that has the appearance of a mandate, a certification back to county court, which would be an indicator that the district court has exclusive jurisdiction over that.
Well, what hypothetically there is an emergency where somebody has to do something or some property will be dissipated,
Yep. Even
if the statute says the personal representative can't dissipate it, maybe some other circumstance comes along that it is going to be dissipated. And you've got to go to a court to get something done. Which court are you going to go to?
I believe the district court, Your Honor.
So you're reading into that language, and that too, we can argue about what Miller said. You're reading into that language the contest and everything else until the contest is disposed of.
Correct, Your Honor.
So if we disagree with that interpretation, it doesn't bode well for your argument, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Assume for a second, just for a moment, that we do disagree with you. What should we do?
In this case, Your Honor, specifically, I think it goes back to county court, and the county court makes a determination on merits. Additionally, this court in CHI, Your Honor, which may trigger more questions here, this court stated that it's not good and it creates chaos potentially if separate courts have distinct and separate proceedings, which is what opposing counsel, I believe, is attempting to do in this instance. County court, a case has been appealed from. We currently have a pretrial hearing in about 10 days. Does the district court have jurisdiction to be able to have that hearing in that case? And I think there's jurisdictional issues that continue to arise, and if these cases are handled in somewhat of a piecemeal fashion, I believe that the cases need to go up as one case to district court. The personal representative is restrained significantly in their actions, the determination is made on will on the will contest, then it's certified back to county court.
Is this your argument? Once the will contest goes to district court, the district court rules on everything that's going on in the estate?
Correct.
Because, and is there a statutory basis for the district court doing all of those other things?
Your Honor, I'm reading it into this.
You're reading into the statute. We've got to go with the statutes we have. Right. So perhaps the legislature's tried to carve out this one angle for district court.
What do you make then of section 30-2407, which in the Uniform Probate Code, which we adopted in the late 70s, says each proceeding in the county court regarding a decedent stands on its own. So you can have multiple, you can have one proceeding in the county court, or you can have multiple ones going on at the same time. And you can have final orders as to one proceeding while there's yet another proceeding still pending in the county court. Isn't that possible?
It is, Your Honor.
And so how does that play into this?
As far as, in that example, Your Honor, and maybe I'm not giving the best comparison here, I would compare it to the will contest going up to district court and maybe a necessity of a party having to pay inheritance tax. They can file a separate proceeding and pay their inheritance tax and prevent interest from accruing, and that can be a separate proceeding while the will contest is moving along.
Because it's outside the contours of Correct. The will contest.
Correct, Your Honor.
So what is it about this proceeding that brings it within the contour of the will contest?
Because they're attempting to, you know, remove a special, well, I guess I would say is, I think it goes back to that election in the beginning. You can either proceed in county court or you can file a motion to transfer the case to district court. In this case, they filed the matter in county court and then the following day immediately filed to transfer it to district court. And Mancillo, I apologize for pronunciation there, the difference with that case is that was never transferred to district court. When he talks about the appointment of a special administrator in that case remained in county court and it was never transferred to district court.
You still have time left.
Yeah, and I would just say that the statutory language just states court. And I think that having the case proceed as one, Ms. Peterson mentioned earlier, judicial efficiency, and I like that language. I think it's judicially efficient for the case to proceed as one case up to district court and then goes back down to county court as one case.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding you. When you say it just says court, what statute or subsection of a statute? Are we talking about the transfer statute, subsection 3? Is that what you're talking about?
Give me one moment, Your Honor. Sure. I apologize. Yes, I believe so, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That says district court.
It does. Yes, it does. Sorry. Thank you for your time.
Much.
I appreciate it.
Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
We have no time for rebuttal. Counsel, thank you. That concludes arguments in re.